Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we'll take a few more calls in this segment. And then we will get to our next guest. Headline, CIA operatives says Bush military leaders let bin Laden escape. This is NBC News. Exclusive. Oh, yes. CIA commander, U.S. let bin Laden slip away. And a lot more. That's coming up in a few minutes. Is that last caller who was holding still there? He was mentioning how in his college RTF class, the professor teaches him that no conspiracies exist and just tell the people stuff that makes them feel good. Is Robert still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Finish up real fast. You were finishing up your other point about you think the whole strike thing was a diversion for what?
Yeah, just like on 9/11, they shut down the building for so-called upgrades. This gives the CIA a perfect opportunity to go in the subways and plant, you know, bombs to be outright with it, and then use that as leverage when they don't re-up the Patriot Act.
Well, I'll say this. We've seen them do this before, and we know it was a government bombing the London subway, so I don't put it past them. Thanks for the call. And tell that professor he ought to be ashamed of himself teaching you not to report to the people. I mean, by the way, that's what they do. That's why I was like, I quit. I left college. I was making good grades. I was like, I'm not going to be taught how to not think. I'm not going to be taught how to be a slave. They would teach us world government's good, guns are bad. But then in the next class, there's crazy people that believe in a world government. And I'm like, well, wait, this textbook says world government's good, but this one says it doesn't exist. And I'm... You know, just it isn't going to work anymore, okay? We're not going along with you. Let's go to Rose in South Carolina, and then we'll go to Canyon and others. Rose, welcome.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Hi, Rose.
How are you doing today? I think maybe they're going to sacrifice a few congressmen to save Bush, because the general public cannot think on one more than one story at a time.
Well, I've said that many times, that either this is a legitimate fight inside the government, whistleblowers going public, but what they'll do is they'll let it go so far to give the illusion of sanity and the illusion of you know, evil getting in trouble to make us all go back to sleep. I call it the steam valve, releasing some pressure, and yes, they'll burn some of their own people.
Remember Chandra Levy? They never found who killed her, did they?
No, they didn't. That was
I think they sacrificed that congressman, whether he did or not. They it looks like if they were going to find him guilty, they would have done found him guilty. I believe that was they sacrificed that congressman.
Well, I agree. Burning and sacrificing a few congressmen here and there also keeps them in line.
Well, let me ask you something. The Russian River got flooded. Did it have anything to do with the Bohemian Grove? Did it get flooded out?
No, the Bohemian Grove is about 300 feet above the Russian River.
Oh.
Well, yeah, the basin of the valley it's in is about, no, it's not true, 200 feet above the Russian River at its lowest point.
And talking about kidnapping, Alex, that girl in Aruba, I believe she was sold into sex slave. I said that from the start.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say, is we ought to be looking in Saudi Arabia.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Continue to do a good job.
Thank you so much. Yeah, folks, there are how many, 20,000 princes in Saudi Arabia, and most of them got harems. And, folks, they have slaves in those harems. I mean, that's mainstream news. But, again, back of the newspaper, oh, yeah, they got slaves and harems, and the prince is coming to see Bush this week at the ranch. Oh, well, they've got harems filled with hundreds of slaves, but it's no big deal. They're our ally. They're our friends. Let's not talk about how they have slaves in their harems, their brothels, their slave brothels. They're slave stables, as they call them. No, let's just talk about Aruba and the Beach Boys or something. I'm not lessening that girl. I'm not. It's just that I'm not going to get upset about what the media tells me to get upset about. I am going to get upset about the issues that I personally think are important. And you should get upset about what you think is important. Don't let me set your agenda either. I'm just pointing out that I think the agenda the media gives us is a big fat distraction, or it's a whitewash. We'll be right back to talk about some really serious news on the other side. Hey, folks, Alex Jones here, announcing the release of my most comprehensive documentary exposing the New World Order's orchestration of the September 11th attacks yet. In my new film, The Masters of Terror, we chronicle the globalist master plan for world domination. The Masters of Terror details how the elite are using manufactured terrorism to drive the world population into accepting tyranny. Witness in horror the execution of the September 11th attacks and the ensuing whitewash. The cashless society control grid, implantable microchips, mass mind control, militarization of police, concentration camps, foreign troops massing on U.S. soil, the USA Patriot Act, Super Big Brother Total Information Awareness Network, and much, much more. It is absolutely vital that everyone see the Masters of Terror. Only by exposing the perpetrators of September 11th can we stop them from carrying out the next wave of attacks and destroying our constitutional republic. Order online now at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139.
Berkey water filters are the ultimate filters used worldwide for normal or hostile filtration environments to provide the most delicious, sparkling, clean water possible. The Berkey Light self-sterilizing filter elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, and they reduce lead, mercury, aluminum, nitrate, sulfur, odors, foul tastes, and much, much more. Yet they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light has ridges to deflect water if the upper chamber is overfilled, and it can be used anywhere on a flat surface. That's because it has an elevated base. The entire system joins together to make the Berkey Light convenient to transport even while it's filtering water. Its rechargeable bright white LED lamps allow for optimum use at night or during emergency conditions. Get the Berkey Light, the ultimate filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Update your kitchen with custom cabinet refacing from Sears. Your kitchen can look like new again in about 4 to 6 days without the cost, time, or mess of totally remodeling. See for yourself. Call 1-800-300-8069 for a free design consultation. Call right now and save $750 on select styles. Sears offers over 100 door and drawer combinations to suit any budget and style. And best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. So don't replace your kitchen cabinets, reface them. Call Sears at 1-800-300-8069 and save $750 on select styles. Offer ends 2/25/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. Custom cabinet refacing from Sears. 1-800-300-8069. Call now, 1-800-300-8069.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, we've got him for about 23 minutes, and we're honored to have him with us today. And here are the headlines. CIA operative says Bush military leaders let bin Laden escape. And it's a similar headline out of Newsweek. And the book, of course, is Jawbreaker, The Attack on Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, a personal account by the CIA's key field commander. And we'll tell you about Gary Bernstein's new book, Jawbreaker. That was the name of the particular operation. And then they were blocked from getting the 800, I guess, special forces or Rangers, Green Berets, to go in and get them. And that dovetails with Army generals saying that they had Taliban generals and were ordered to release them. Or, oh, give the Pakistanis the C-130s and we're going to fly 8,000 Taliban and Al-Qaeda out. And, oh, we've got a Predator drone with bin Laden in sight. Don't drop bombs. And then we have all these other people running around saying, well, we don't want to capture bin Laden because if we do, that will somehow energize the Al-Qaedas. And I mean that sarcastic when I say Al-Qaedas. I hear these people on talk shows calling them Al-Qaedis, everything else you can imagine. But I just briefly wanted to read to you folks just a few quotes of Bush in the last few years. I don't know where bin Laden is, and I have no idea and really don't care. We even have the clips. It's not that important. It's not our priority. Here's another one. I am truly not that concerned about him. And then John Kerry, who I'm no fan of, brought this up to Bush, and Bush said, how dare you? I never said that. He said it over 15 times. We have the quotes. Don't bring up Bin Laden. I don't want to hear about him. But then I've got to have Viper teams with TSA in Dallas and Houston randomly searching us, demanding to see our IDs on the side of the road and at shopping malls. But my border's wide open, and Bush is saying he doesn't care about Osama Bin Laden. So going to our guest, and who we really appreciate coming on with us, he, again, is the author of the new book, and that is Jawbreaker. And our guest is Gary Bernstein. Gary, thanks for coming on.
It's a pleasure being with you today, Alex.
You bet. Just in a nutshell, tell us who you are, what you did as one of the senior commanders for espionage operations.
I spent 23 years with the Central Intelligence Agency as a member of its clandestine service. During that time, I had served as a chief of station, a senior officer in country, in a number of countries around the world, and also led a number of CIA's most important counterterrorism responses. The book begins, Jawbreaker, in East Africa, with the bombings of our embassies in Nairobi and in Dar es Salaam. And I led the team out there in the response and worked closely, hand in glove, with the FBI as we captured those first al-Qaeda members. And then we realized that it wasn't Hezbollah, because Hezbollah, of, you know, the Shias of Lebanon, had done a number of large-scale attacks that were like those attacks. And then we realized for the first time that Bin Laden had finally gone big. I then am sent into Afghanistan in 2000, a year before 11 September, as part of a six-man team, and I'm working with Ahmad Shah Massoud's people in the Northern Alliance to try to kidnap and snatch one of Bin Laden's key lieutenants. Unfortunately, a bit too much risk aversion in the Clinton administration and an unwillingness to keep us on the ground there long enough to do our job.
We're now, is your team going to physically yourself snatch and grab one of Bin Laden's operatives?
We would have done it in concert with the Northern Alliance, with their intel elements, as we, you know, we never got to that final point where we actually were able to execute.
Would you try to send like a entry team into where he was sleeping, or just grab him off the road, or
well,
just whatever you can do?
At that point, the borders there, you know, you had a front line of al-Qaeda and on one side and us on another, but there were other areas that were sort of areas that were uncontrolled. It would not have been impossible to flip people through. It would not have been impossible to have Northern Alliance guys, you know, cross the border to visit families, and they used to do that. Guys on the Northern Alliance side would, you know, put in civilian clothes, go visit the city, and vice versa. Members of the Taliban would visit other areas.
Now, Sudan offered to give a bunch. Sudan offered to give a bunch of documents years before that to Clinton, and offered to try to arrest Bin Laden. And Clinton, this has been mainstream news, said, "No, I don't want him." Is that correct from the history you've got?
I was never involved in that operation during that period of time. I was focusing on the Hezbollah account in CIA.
But have you heard of that?
I've heard of that. There was almost 10 other efforts to get Bin Laden, and the Clinton administration would not stand up, and they couldn't. They just wouldn't do it.
Oh, 10 other efforts. I knew of four others with Saudi Arabia, Pakistan,
yes,
and Afghanistan. They were offering. In fact, some of the senior Taliban was offering to try to get him, and then nothing happened.
You are correct. Multiple occasions we had opportunities, and they were constantly turned down because of the inability to face the risk.
You say 10, though. I was only aware of four. Can you fill me in on the others?
There were others that were inside of Afghanistan where we had opportunities to either kill him or to snatch him, and most of those were run by Scheuer, and in Scheuer's book he talks about that. Some of the things haven't been made public, but there was enough of them. You know, there was the one where he was at the hunting camp, and there was a possibility of firing missiles at him there, but he was being visited by sheikhs from the United Arab Emirates.
What about when we see, also being visited by the Saudis who couldn't touch him? What about when we see articles where, a special forces colonel goes public and says, we had him cornered in Tora Bora, that's what your book's saying, and we're told to back off. I don't think you go that far. You just said they wouldn't give you...
No one ever said to back off. We made significant efforts to conduct airstrikes against him. I was the person who was sort of the architect of that effort down there, because I sent the first eight men into Nangarhar province. And then that eight-man unit met up with warlords that we had arranged to meet in Jalalabad. They moved south down to the mountains, the White Mountains. We put a four-man team up on top of a mountain over Bin Laden and the 1,000 people that had fled back with him into those mountains, and commenced airstrikes for 56 hours and shredded his that element was with him initially.
And now, sir, Buzzy Krongard, though, who was number three at the CIA, obviously you know that. Do you know Buzzy?
Yeah, I know he is.
Well, Buzzy told the Times of London, and they've got the audio of it. He said, "Oh, we don't want Bin Laden." Headline: Number three man says U.S. doesn't want Bin Laden. He says that that would somehow hurt our war effort if he wasn't there as this useful logo. Were
that
you aware of
that? That's a statement that has absolutely had no reality in my mind. I was given instructions by Cofer Black to kill Bin Laden or capture him, and was doing everything possible. We threw a 15,000-pound Blue 82 at a position we believed he was at, B-52 strikes. We did everything possible to kill him. There was no standing down. The only thing that we didn't receive is when I requested the introduction of ground forces, 600 to 800 Rangers. They never came. CENTCOM commanders, wanted to do this with airstrikes.
Well, I'm just trying to understand this, sir, because, I mean, I understand you were there trying to get him and tried your best. I'm not saying you weren't trying. What I'm saying is Buzzy Krongard, on record, has told several international papers and has not denied it that our government, and he was number three at CIA when he said this, that our government doesn't want Bin Laden. Now, why is he saying that, and then you're saying something else?
I have no idea, and he was the executive director, which had a lot to do with resources there, but in the Directorate of Operations, we were doing everything possible to kill him.
I don't know
why he would make a statement like that, it's beyond me why he could make such a statement. Because we did receive the air power that we wanted. The only thing we didn't get was the soldiers on the ground.
But, sir, you were there in 2001, 2002, and it was still really a hot war. It seems like there was a policy change. First, Bush is saying, let me just read the quote. He says, this is, of course, not new information, and it goes on. It says, the most important thing for us is for us to find Osama bin Laden. It is our number one priority, and we will not rest until we find him. Then, a year later, it goes to, I don't know where bin Laden is. I have no idea, and I really don't care. It's not that important. It's not a priority.
Well, I would say that leadership matters, as it matters that we have a president who's strong and willing to fight the war on terrorism. Leadership on the other side matters, too. They look up to him. We need to eliminate him or capture him in an effort to sort of decapitate.
So you don't think bin Laden's been eliminated?
No. We have to operate on the premise that he is still alive and functioning until he is either captured or confirmed.
But, I mean, really, your gut, your instinct, my instinct and the intel I've got, and I've certainly not been in Afghanistan like you, but talking to other intelligence officers, is that he died of kidney failure in the last few years. I mean, he has a dialysis machine living in the mountains. I mean,
I wouldn't believe it. Well, I was aware of the fact that he was looking for that. But you have to remember, this is a man that had significant resources. He could get money. He could get people. He could get things in to keep him alive, I believe. You got to remember, his father was the most wealthy man in Saudi Arabia. He built the Grand Mosque. At one point, 20 years ago, when the Saudi government ran out of funds, his father paid the salaries of all Saudi government employees for 6 months.
No, I know. They're as powerful as it gets. Okay, so where do you think bin Laden is then? I mean, from all the intelligence.
I would assume that, of course, when he fell back across the border into Pakistan, there are 25 million Pathans living in the southern part of Afghanistan, the northern part of Pakistan, along that border area. And as part of their code of life is they will not turn in people that have sought sanctuary. He also helped them during the Soviet Jihad period. He established schools, hospitals. He did developmental work with those people. And there's a lot of loyalty to him.
Well, let me ask you about this. Did you ever see any of the files about his work with the CIA and his code name?
No. The fact is that during the Soviet Jihad, we worked with a lot of commanders and had contact with a lot of people, a lot of individuals there. And that's not surprising that agency officers may have seen him or provided resources.
Ever heard the name? Ever heard the name Tim Osman, sir?
No, I've never heard that name.
Well, that was his code name. That's what the CIA called him when he was here in the U.S. Well, Gary
Burke. Never heard that name. Have no knowledge of that.
I can send you. It's been in major papers. I mean, if it's not true, we want to know. Well, Gary Burke.
I don't believe that that's. I'd have to see the background on that, but I don't believe there's a basis in fact on that.
Okay. Well, we got to take a quick break, sir. Got one more segment with you. I want to get into your book, Jawbreaker. Sounds really interesting. I haven't read it yet, and we'll tell people about the publisher's website and how they can get it. I've got a few other questions about war period and about intelligence and several other issues that are covered in your book. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'd be pleased.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Did you know that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the country today is that it is now possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now, it's cancer's turn to die with Lays Med Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star Wars technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. That's 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com. Or call LaseMed at 702-953-0267 today.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Here it is, folks, the 2006 Red Book, the most comprehensive edition ever published. Midas Resources believes our clients should be as informed as possible. It includes the history of U.S. coins, the actual mintages, the grading standards. Learn the stability of real money. Protect yourself from fiat currencies. They are instruments of debt. Feel the comfort and safety of real money. Midas will send you the 2006 Red Book and a genuine silver dollar for just $22.95 delivered. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237. Don't be lost in a sea of confusion. Get the 2006 Red Book. Help steer your own financial ship. Call Midas now, 1-800-686-2237.
For months now, you've been hearing about the incredible health benefits of Zango, the functional health beverage made from the whole fruit of mangosteen. What you probably didn't know is that Zango joined forces with the leading manufacturer and distributor of functional health beverages like Capri Sun, Sobe, Mystic, and Red Bull to create the fastest growing business opportunity in America today. Are you sick of barely having enough money? Are you tired of working so hard yet feeling like you'll never get ahead? Are you ready to start investing in your own business instead of somebody else's? Whatever it is you seek, Zango could be that special company that helps you achieve your hopes and dreams. So take matters into your own hands. Create a future that doesn't depend on a fickle 401k and lateral promotions. Zango is what you are looking for. Find out more by calling 888-203-6633 or visit mangosteenmarkets.com. That's M-A-N-G-O-S-T-E-E-N markets.com. Call 888-203-6633 today.
We're talking to Gary Bernstein. You call me Bernstein. That's when I get in a hurry with all these news articles in front of me. And the book's Jawbreaker, The Attack on Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, a personal account of the CIA's key field commander. You know, I've talked to folks who've been over there. They say it's literally like the Stone Age. I mean, is it like a caveman land over there, or is it something in between that and civilization, sir?
It's pretty sparse. It's very rough terrain. It's, you know, you have to remember that invaders, you know, the British, the Soviets, anyone that has gone in there over the past, you know, several hundred years has taken a beating. And it's tough. It's hard health-wise. And militarily, it's a tough place to tame.
In fact, I saw some stories that the casualties are actually at record levels there now per month for U.S. troops.
But this year, I think there have been 1,500 people, and that's including Afghans, and some losses on the U.S. side, fighting remnants of the Taliban that continue to try to cross back over.
Now, isn't this a slogan for Americans to understand? But, I mean, when they call it Al-Qaeda in Iraq or Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan or Al-Qaeda, and then when you actually read the fine print, it's just some other Islamicist group. I mean, isn't that just kind of a name they slap on it?
Yes, I think that you are correct in that statement, and that those individuals crossing into Afghanistan are, they're Taliban, they're remnants of the Taliban. Al-Qaeda and bin Laden, there's a word for it, almost like a business where it's franchised. He has had contact with other groups around the world in Indonesia, and he's working with them. So, we're fighting extremist, Islamic extremism now. It's not just Al-Qaeda. You have to realize that if you look at the city of Karachi alone, there are over 200,000 students in those madrasas that are receiving, the word of hatred against the U.S. on a daily basis. So there's a never-ending source of people to strap on bombs and to come at us.
But I go back, sir, to the 1950s when our government, and this is public policy, and obviously you probably know more about this than I do, but it's admitted with Kermit Roosevelt and the rest of them, to go radicalize the Muslims because they didn't want strong governments in there. They wanted governments that they could control or bulwarks against the Soviets. And, the Washington Post about shipping in the radical hadiths from the madrasas and all of this whole cozying up that has been going on. Meanwhile, the government's saying we got to have the Pentagon spy on the American people or Al-Qaeda's going to get you. I mean, number one, what do you think about radicalizing the Muslims in the 50s, or do you deny that? And then number two...
I think that there were some efforts on the part of the U.S. in its anti-Soviet campaign to use the Islamic card. And quite frankly, we lit the fuse on that one because this thing has taken off and it had long-term implications that went beyond what anybody would have believed would have occurred years ago. And it is a problem. And we, of course, the groups, the Afghans that participated in the jihad took from that experience the ability that they could defeat a world power and actually believe they can beat us and that they can bleed us to death.
So a little bit, a little too much motivation there.
A little bit too much, you're right.
Okay, well, what about the situation with the spying here domestically? You know this. The FISA court is retroactive. It doesn't block the government from listening to an Al-Qaeda call. That's just baloney. I know you don't want to criticize the government, but, I mean, now, the NSA spying on reporters, is this freedom?
What I would say is this. I don't know about spying on reporters, but one of the parts on the war on terror is
Colin Powell.
We're going to need internal coverage here. Now, that doesn't mean we should be looking at U.S. citizens for political reasons. That's unacceptable to look at U.S. citizens who are, just innocent citizens because we all value those rights. But I think that the president recognizes that there is a significant threat that exists within an open society, and we are vulnerable internally. We have to make sure, though, that the president needs to reach across the aisle. We need to get consensus here, bipartisan consensus, on how we're going to tackle this thing in the United States.
Okay, Mr. Burns, I know you've got to leave us here in a moment. If you stay a few minutes, that's fine. We got a break again. If you got to go, I understand.
Sure.
But the thing here is that Bush says arrest anybody with connections to Al-Qaeda, but FBI agent Robert Wright got up with the impeachment lawyer and David Shippers and said that he was told you'll be arrested if you talk about what you know. Well, I'd already interviewed them before they were told they'd be arrested, and that was in the months before 9/11. They were told, back off these people, or we're going to arrest you, buddy. Now, why is that?
I can't answer that question.
I mean, I can send you the C-SPAN video. I don't think Robert Wright and David Shippers are lying.
No, I can't answer that question. And
well, the best you can say is because it's connected to Bush's Saudi friends, he blocked it, but I think it's even worse.
Yeah, I do believe, though, that the president's intentions on this are not to create a state of, a siege here in the United States against the public. He's trying to defend us against attacks internally, but you've got to be very careful when you're doing this domestically, and you need to have bipartisan support is my recommendation.
I hear you, Mr. Bernstein. Do you need to leave us?
No, I don't. I can say a bit more.
Okay, we'll just a 3-minute break and come back. You've about 5 minutes on the other side. I know you got to go, and I got two or three more questions for you, and we'll plug the book as well. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using the Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Hey, Jack Blood here from Deadline Live. You know, it seems people will steal anything and everything you have. If you have a house with some equity, a car, a truck, RV, there was someone looking for a way to rip it off. And what about those government agencies? You know, the ones, those alphabet agencies. Did you know that they get raises, promotions, and bonuses based on what they see? And they can do it without due process. This is how the establishment has been attaining real wealth for centuries. And now you can learn the secrets that the elite have used for generations. Wealth-hiding secrets of the elite are exposed in this best-selling book, Bulletproof Asset Protection. Find out how you can make it look like you have no equity in your property, or make it look like you own no property, and a whole lot more. Order the book and DVD now for one low price. Get Bulletproof Asset Protection now. Call them 888-240-3337, and that's 888-240-3337, or go to assetprotectionteam.com. Tell them you heard it on GCN.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We don't screen phone calls on this show, so callers call in on 100 different issues, and we've got the lines always, of course, are loaded. But do this, Scott, go through the calls and see who specifically wants to talk to our guest, because I can go to the other people that want to talk about other stuff, whatever issue, that's fine. We don't have a lot of time with our guest, about 15 minutes or so less left, so just go find out, maybe just take the first five. Who are the first five wants to talk to the guest out of Canyon and Debbie and Jim and Mike and John and others, and find out who has a question for them so we can take calls here in just a few minutes. But I talked to our guest during the break, and I said, what is, you know, some of the things you want to talk about? And, you know, he is this CIA warrior. And that's how he's described by Newsweek, with the headline, exclusive CIA commander, U.S. let bin Laden slip away. And then Capitol Hill Blue has a much stronger headline, CIA operative says Bush military leaders let bin Laden escape. And we've interviewed, again, David Shippers, FBI agents, and it's all the same thing over and over and over again. And then we have Bush with two different policies. Get bin Laden, number one priority, then it shifts to don't worry about bin Laden. Well, in his book, Jawbreaker, he gets into that and just a lot of other issues about what happened in Afghanistan. But our guest wanted to talk a little bit about Muslim Americans on average themselves. So please go ahead, sir.
Your listeners, that Muslim Americans stepped up big in the fight in Afghanistan. I took four Muslim Americans with me on my team. Two of them were native Arabic speakers. Two of them spoke Persian or Dari and Pashtun. And they served their country nobly. They took huge risks on the battlefield, and they made all the difference for us. They really did. I'd like to thank those men, their families, and all other Muslim Americans that are serving in the armed forces, that are serving in the intelligence community, and serving in the FBI. There are fine, fine Muslim Americans that, just like in World War II, when we had Japanese, Italian, and German Americans stepped up to serve the United States to fight against fascism, there are a number of Muslim Americans fighting these radicals.
Well, Professor Lino Graglia, we have it on video here in Austin last year, said that he thinks all Muslims should be put in internment camps.
That's a disgraceful statement.
Well, what about the Michael Savages? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Muslim Americans are serving this country nobly. Now, there are some of their leaders haven't stepped up, but a lot of the Muslim Americans individually are taking huge risks, and we will not win this fight without them. We need their linguistic abilities, their knowledge of the culture. We need them on the ground, because it's a very, very complex thing that we're working on. You know, right now, this is not just about a battle, clash of civilizations between Islam and Christianity. This is a clash of civilizations within Islam. It is a battle between those in the Islamic world that believe that Islam and democracy can coexist together against those that only want an Islamic state, or an Islamic dictatorship. And we saw what an Islamic dictatorship looks like in the form of the Taliban, and it was horrific what they did.
Now, I'm trying to understand this, though. People like Michael Savage, I don't know if you've heard his show, his real name is Michael Weiner, he says that people that disagree with the war should, quote, be put in forced labor camps because we're aiding al-Qaeda. We hear this drum being beaten that if you're not for everything this administration wants to do, that you're un-American and unpatriotic. What's your take on that?
I don't believe that. I believe that in our society we value the opinions of everyone here. That doesn't mean that we have to agree with you or agree with an opposing opinion. But the fact is, we went and those of us that serve in the CIA take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And that includes all of our basic rights, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, all of that.
Now you're a specialist on the Middle East and then on Central Asia, correct? And that's your main focus and study?
Yes, my main focus in my career was in that part of the world. Yes, sir.
Well, I want to tell you a quick story, and then I want to take some calls. I was sitting in a Home Depot parking lot about 2 years ago, and I'd read about Mossadegh. I'd read about the CIA overthrow there for BP, British Petroleum. But I couldn't believe it when I heard Kermit Roosevelt, and I've had John Loftus on to talk about this as well, FBI counterterrorism, you may know him in New York there, and he concurred and said it was disgraceful. But here is, on the radio, dead now, it was some interview from the 80s, saying that the CIA went in, and he bragged, with nine guys and a bunch of money, and hired people to carry out bombings and shootings all over the country, and they printed up handbills saying Mossadegh did it, up with communism, and that then our government removed him and put the Shah in. Now, that's public record. So we see stuff like that. And so now I guess we have the Iranian regime to we can thank again our government for helping to cause a chain of events that did that. Number one, are you aware of all that? Number two, what's your take on it?
In the early years, and this was before the Church and the Pike Commissions, and in the 50s, and the late 40s and the 50s, the agency did things that would not be acceptable by our terms today. We're a different nation now. The CIA is very, very different. I can tell you that CIA is very, very risk averse, and no one will do anything without having the lawyers sign off on everything these days.
Well, why would Kermit Roosevelt
challenge now?
Why would Kermit Roosevelt just go on the radio and just talk about it like he was talking about a basketball game or something?
He wrote about the book he wrote was called Counter Coup years ago, and those were his efforts to overthrow Mossadegh. And I'm aware of that. and of much of what went on during that period of time. And I can say to you, though, now that, you know, the CIA matured over the years, that we are all very, very mindful of the law. We are mindful of basic rights of folks. And I got to tell you, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, CIA torturing people. I can tell you, people have lawyers there. No one's going to do anything with everything signed off, and the Attorney General is going to sign off, and, you know, people are very, very careful.
But Alberto Gonzalez,
that's not accurate.
But Alberto Gonzalez said when he was White House counsel in memos to the Pentagon that if they just don't call it torture, that if somebody dies and they didn't mean to kill them under pressure, then it's not torture. So aren't they just changing the name?
Well, I can say this. When I was on the ground there, we did not use coercive or non-coercive methods. We interviewed people. When I was there, we asked people in large groups if anyone, you know, one by one. You may have saw that Mike Spann lost his life doing this in a prison up in Mazar-e Sharif. And eventually, people came forward and volunteered information that stopped the follow-on attacks in Singapore. There was going to be 21 tons of explosives used against four embassies.
Yeah, what about the story? What about the story where early on in the war they had the containers full of the Taliban and they just let them die in the containers and then lined them up and mowed them down?
The Afghans had done this. The Taliban had done this to the Northern Alliance.
So that's what they always do to each other.
These guys had been doing this stuff to each other. No Americans were aware of this. You have to remember, there was a small number of Americans, you know, not more than, you know, possibly 400 of us in country at the top end of this during the war, covering an area the size of Texas and California together.
How many U.S. troops generally? How many U.S. troops total?
350 Special Forces and 100... roughly 100 CIA officers for that war. That was it, against 50 to 60,000 members of the Taliban and 5 to 7,000 of Al-Qaeda.
So that's all Bush put into the entire Afghan, I'm talking about the Afghan war itself. You're saying that was it?
That was the initial phase. Eventually, more troops, the 10th Mountain, would come in later and, you know, would be involved down
there. But if that's the number one threat, why put 200,000 or 170,000 in Iraq and send a couple hundred to Afghanistan? That's insane.
Well, the thing in Afghanistan was brilliant, I will say, because many, many other people had lost there with large numbers of forces and had all sorts of problems.
So it was more of an intelligence operation.
The small numbers in an intelligence-driven war was masterful. The only shortcoming came in Tora Bora when we had requested the introduction of U.S. forces at that one place and time. And they just couldn't get over. They just couldn't do it.
And you were absolutely sure bin Laden was there?
Yes.
And how did you ascertain that? Just...
Well, we had human sources that tracked him down there. I would have never sent eight men into an incredibly dangerous province and then four men up into a mountain over 1,000 if bin Laden had not been there.
Well, sir,
and
I appreciate...
We picked up a radio off of a dead member of Al-Qaeda, and I had CIA's number one Arabic linguist with me, who had listened to bin Laden's voice for the previous 4 years, who confirmed that it was bin Laden.
Well, Mr. Bernstein, I appreciate you letting me interrogate you. I just want to take one or two calls here.
That's fine.
But my final question for you is just concerning bin Laden in the future. I mean, do you think they're ever going to capture Mr. bin Laden?
I think that you know, there's an effort politically to sort of just minimize his importance now, but he is incredibly important, remains important, and there are significant efforts underway to try to finish this. Porter Goss, the new director of CIA, is a good man. He had three tours as an ops officer many, many years ago. He is making significant efforts on this. I have faith that he is pressing forward on this.
Okay. Now, out of all these callers, who should I go to first? It's for our guest. All right, I'm going to go quickly, callers. Debbie in Florida, you're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to know, is bin Laden the most important person, or who else should we be going after besides him?
Well, of course, you know, Zarqawi in Iraq is an important individual.
How many times has he been killed?
Zawahiri is important. We have had a lot of success capturing a number of his operational lieutenants, Abu Zubaydah, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Mohammed Atef was killed with an airstrike. His operational folks have been captured, have been killed. So, you know, this is probably one of the reasons we haven't had an attack in the United States, is that the Bush administration has continued the pressure on these guys.
Fighting them over there instead of over here.
And that's what is being done.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Debbie. Let's talk to John in New York and then Earl, and then I got to let our guest go. John in New York, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just read a book recently and heard a report by the book was The Elimination of the Elite by, I think, Colonel Martin. And he says that in the CIA, it's common knowledge in the 60s that the JFK assassination was done by the CIA. And also, if you've listened to Shortwave at all, just the other night on John Statmiller, they had 150 major reasons why 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah, well, we covered that a week ago on the show. That was the Web Ferry article. I'm
I was
sorry.
6 years old when JFK died, so I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, well, John, go ahead and say whatever else you have to say.
Well, it just, you know, it's a situation of who's attacking us, and it's like weather modification. There's 300 weather modifications patents. We had 150 tornadoes in one day. Isn't normal. It's way out of normal. The Katrina hurricane is way out of normal. It hit 250-mile oil depots in a 4,000-mile range to say that two.
Well, John, I'll say this. I interviewed Ben Livingston, who is the father of weather warfare and has the letters and the photos with him, you know, with LBJ commending him for his secret weather program. And just with seeding, they were able to flood the Vietnamese communists. And it's patented and proven, and they could, quote, stop those hurricanes. But the weather seeding program has been killed, and so that's interesting. Thanks for the call. But
thank
that's
you.
Let's go to Earl in Florida. Earl, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I would like to know exactly how many cells do you feel that are here located in the United States, and when do you think these groups will actually affect and put those groups in action?
Yeah, are there active Al-Qaeda cells, Mr. Bernstein, here in the United States? Are they going to get us any minute if we don't give all our rights up?
You have to assume that Al-Qaeda will be attempting to put people into this country. You have to assume that Al-Qaeda will be trying to infiltrate people all around the world to act against our efforts. We need to continue to put pressure on this. We are living in an age when small groups of people can leverage technology for catastrophic efforts.
Well,
I don't
tell
believe
you
that we need to sacrifice all of our rights, but we need to continue to build a clandestine service that is robust and healthy and aggressive.
Well, I know this. The Cold War was a big boon for companies and the economy, and now since that's kind of gone by the board, there's this new Islamicist threat that it's under every bed and every closet, you know, and every well. It's just creeping around in the woods, and I guess it can never be defeated, and it just goes on and on. All I know is, sir, we have Viper teams from the TSA. They're going to turn our malls and our banks and our highways into something like the airport where you get groped, and that's not America, and it's not going to keep us safe either.
Yeah, I think that we need to use human intelligence smartly. And we had a problem in the 1990s where we diminished our intelligence service, our case officers, by 25%. You know, there have been efforts to improve that. You know, there's offense and there's defense. When you talk about defense, you know, you're talking about, like you said, all these security teams here. We need to be on the offense. We need to be on the offense against them where they're organizing themselves overseas. We need to be mindful of what's going on in the United States.
But this is what I'm trying to say. And I'll let you go here in a minute, sir. I know you're busy. Let's say that we're sitting here and there's an Al-Qaeda terrorist boogeyman with a big tail and a forked tail running around foaming at the mouth. And we don't know where he is, so we're just going to randomly federalize local police and have them run around in black Darth Vader gear. That's what they do in Miami and Dallas now. And we're just going to randomly shake down families and demand to see their IDs. I mean, come on.
No, I don't believe that. I don't think that is what the what human intelligence does when you're conducting human operations.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's what the federal government's doing. I'm
yeah,
sure
well,
you've heard about
work.
Well, of course it's not going to. Okay, well, then give us your take on that.
Well, the fact is, as I had stated, you need to do human intelligence operations, training large numbers of people that will make contact with different people, whether they're in the Middle East or here, and you establish human reporting sources. You do it in a professional and a consistent manner. You have the program well-funded. You answer to Congress, and you don't take us apart again. The agency has been dismantled on several occasions. Human intelligence has been dismantled on at least two occasions in the last 25 years.
Now, isn't the CIA one of the smallest agencies out there? I mean,
the Director of Operations is very small. You are exactly right.
So what about
the
other?
Exactly right.
What about the other 15 agencies?
They don't do human intelligence, not like CIA does. They do technical, they do overhead, they do, you know, intercept. What we need here is intentions. The plans and intentions are not picked up by satellites. You need humans in contact. And the clandestine service is that arm of the United States that goes out and collects that type of information.
What's that called? Human?
Human. Human intelligence.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. There's not Al-Qaeda under every bush. These guys are going to need something to do, and I see the government, and I've had Homeland Security local groups on, and they're being taught all threats, that crime is terror, and so...
That doesn't make any sense. I'm with you. I'm with you. That doesn't make any sense, and that's not a practical application. I'm going to be writing a book on counterterrorism policy shortly, and I'm going to try to lay out some of this and address exactly some of the complaints that you have and how we need to do this in a more efficient, effective, and less disruptive fashion.
All right. The book is Jawbreaker, and it's in books bookstores now or at Amazon.com and all those places, and it's Gary Bernstein. We really appreciate you coming on with us today, sir.
It has been a pleasure being with you, Alex.
You bet. Take care, and I hope to get you back on in the future when your new book comes out, but the latest one is Jawbreaker. Take care.
Thanks, sir.
You bet. We'll be right back, folks, with your calls and a ton of news. Stay with us. There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin Wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power-mad cult of death that is sworn to turn the Earth into a prison planet. Discover the document of truth for yourself before it's too late. Call toll-free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139. Or visit InfoWars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Berkey Light is your premier source for purified water. It's portable and requires no water pressure, so you can enjoy healthy drinking water, whether it's during normal times or hostile environments like a local or national emergency. That's because it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is unique because it removes pathogenic bacteria, cyst parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul taste and odors like the rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it extracts nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light's rechargeable LED lighting system is so bright it can be used as a reading light. Get the Berkey Light for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Back in our archives and pulled old news articles about DynCorp and others and just some of the horrible things they're involved in, the white slavery rings, and so much more. I'm going to have Kevin Smith, who's done some research on this, and pulled some of these archived articles for us in here for the last 30 minutes. But we're going to have open phones now, and we're 30 minutes into the next hour, and then we'll cover some of the stories we haven't gotten to and also recap some of the top stories before the broadcast ends. Canyon and Mike and Walt and Charles and Fred, we're going to get to all of you here in just a moment. Canyon first before this hour ends. Obviously, a lot of that was deception. The guy sitting there with a smile, you know, he couldn't deny a lot of it. He couldn't deny that that the number, really number two, the news said number three, but he was right, he corrected me. Number two, it's CIA. Buzzy Krongard said that they didn't want bin Laden because he's a good boogeyman. I mean, they openly brag about this. And he didn't deny that our government carried out terror attacks. And, folks, there's almost 200 cases, I've been chronicling them for a film I'm working on, where they admit it. Do you understand? You know, you're having trouble believing they do this and that bin Laden's controlled by them. And it's so easy to have one group of CIA wondering why they can't go after somebody else and then just fooling themselves of what the other intentions are. And it's either or there with the last guy that we had on, but it makes me sick. And then in closing, but we appreciate him coming on, and he made a lot of other admissions too about how it's ridiculous to have these Viper teams and how it's to suppress the American people, but he still loves George Bush. Yeah, that's all real bad, but I still love George Bush. Well, George Bush isn't running anything, so it doesn't really matter. And then in closing, until the 7th, you can still get almost 6 months, 5.3 months, free when you get a yearly subscription. So you pay for 6.7 months, and you get the other 5.3 free. So you get almost 5.5 months, almost 6 months, free when you get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, video of our interviews in studio, video of my TV show with all the stuff we produce there, all 14 of my films. My films before they're released online, my weekly special reports, you get the best audio interviews from the radio show, my book, Paul Watson's book, 15 cents a day, you get a monthly subscription and try it out, or save a lot of money and get 5-plus months for free when you get a yearly membership, and that deal will end, we've extended it because you've asked us to, that deal will end in about 4 days or less. So please take action. And go to PrisonPlanet.tv and get your membership, or go to InfoWars.com to order hard copies of any of the films. Canyon in Texas, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex. It's good to be on the show today.
Yes, sir.
I've been listening to you for about 6 or 7 years now. I started listening on KJFK. I have a few topics I'd like to talk about. I'll try to do them all.
Sure, go ahead.
Real quick here. I've seen a virtually infinite number of ideas here. Everyone seems to have their own opinion. And I wonder, I personally believe in Jesus Christ and consider him my savior, but with all the people who consider themselves Christians who say that if you don't believe exactly the way they do, you can pretty well go to hell and that you're going to hell, what is one to believe? When I was just getting started as a believer, I would feel ashamed for being so different than everyone else as far as
well, you got a bunch of religionists who just want to beat you over the head and tell you they've got the specific perfect little way. But that's not what Christ did. That's not what he was out there saying. That's not what he was about, being a Pharisee. So they're just Pharisees, modern Pharisees. And, you know, just because Pat Robertson is a bloodthirsty microchip-promoting globalist, you know, doesn't mean that Christians are bad. So I'm trying to get what you're saying.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what I was meaning. All right. And another thing.
Well, stay there. I'll let you finish up on the other side. We're going to start the third hour here in 70 seconds. Most stations carry the first five-minute segment. Some don't. For those that don't, we'll see you in 8 minutes. But for those that do, we'll see you in 70 seconds. InfoWars.com, InfoWars.net, PrisonPlanet.tv. This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.